Work it, make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there, and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Coming to you once again from the heart of Manhattan, Radio Row for Super Bowl 48. Vic Carucci here in New York. Nathan Zagora there in Northeast Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Got a great, great show for you today. We are going to hear from the one and only Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports, Football Night in America. He is going to join us, get his take on the Browns. He's got a lot to say about what the Browns have done since the end of the season, coaching staff and so forth. We'll get all his opinions on that. And another national take from Alex Marvez from Fox Sports 1. You'll hear from Florio in about a half an hour, and then you'll hear from Marvez at about 2 p.m. Eastern. And then Doug Deacon, finally, we've been...
It's been the most typed interview in the history of Cleveland Browns Daily.
All these guys, all these bookers, all these people on Radio Row have been able to get time and again here. But our own Doug Deacon, a little harder to chase down. And he's a local guy. But we are going to get him on board here finally to get his thoughts on the hiring of Mike Pettine, what's going on with the rest of the Browns coaching situation. Of course, we'll get into that. Nathan, yours truly, we'll cover and dive into some of those thoughts along the way. Gerard Cherry in the second hour as well. And I guess we should start with what the latest is. Browns are supposed to interview today Kyle Shanahan.
Yep.
And there was some speculation, Nathan, that, you know, if he kind of blew them away, that might be the end of the interviewing and then try to bring him aboard.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic. As you know from what I said yesterday, I think he's a good fit. I think he brings some credibility on the offensive side. 6 years he has been an offensive coordinator in this league. His team, always in the top half of the league in yards per play, has run one of the most efficient passing offenses in NFL history, despite not really playing with great quarterbacks. You saw what he was able to do last year with RG3 when healthy. So I think that would be great, and I know that meeting is going on today in Berea, and hopefully we'll come out of it because with him as the offense coordinator, because the other guy, no offense to John DeFilippo, but the quarterback's coach of the Oakland Raiders, who did not do a whole heck of a lot 1 year in that job, does not excite me whatsoever as an offensive coordinator. Kyle Shanahan does.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, if he were maybe a position coach or something along those lines, all right, that's a different story. Then I'd say, all right, yeah, interesting guy, see what he's all about.
Well, he could bring in the experience he got working with Terrell Pryor and Matt McGloin. Oh, no, wait. That probably won't do a whole lot.
not so good. Not so much. No, we know a lot more about what Kyle Shanahan's about. And, again, we'll get some perspective from both Mike Florio and Alex Marvez on Shanahan's career and what it could mean if, indeed, he ends up being part of the Cleveland Browns. Here at the Super Bowl, it's been all about a lot of talk. I mean, in the obvious places, Peyton Manning and what his career is all about. I posted a column on ClevelandBrowns.com just about his legacy, and I know we talked a little bit about that yesterday with some of the media day sound and how Manning basically gave the non-answer answer to the question of whether or not his legacy or what his legacy means with regard to how this Super Bowl is played. And I think there's a general thought that he's got to win this. I mean, he's got to win this to have that ability to start shaking, or at least mostly shaking, the he can't win the big game label that he carries, right? And that's a burden to carry that. But and you know what? I think in his answers to that question, and we played that sound yesterday, in basically saying, hey, legacies, you know, people have been asking me that since I was 25. You can't have a legacy at 25, got to be 70. Whatever he did in a deft way to kind of get around the question, I think what he's ultimately saying, Nathan, is you guys figure out the legacy. You media types, you're gonna say something anyway and decide it anyway, and whatever I say won't impact that. It's more of what I do, but I think it's even bigger than that. It's what the team does. What end of that final score do the Broncos find themselves on Sunday? That's going to decide the legacy.
No question about it. And I had an opportunity to speak with Tony Dungy in New York this year. And this was back when there was all the talk that Peyton couldn't play in cold weather and it was going to be a cold weather game that weekend. And he said, believe me, he hears it, he knows it, and he wants to silence it. So he does. He's a human being. Anybody who would be under as much scrutiny as Peyton Manning is going to pay attention to it. He wants to be done with it, and I think that he is going to go out there. And this is a massive game for him. It is a massive game for his legacy, right or wrong. And you can debate whether or not it's fair or not. But in terms of where he will stack up with the media, winning this game is massively important for him.
On the fairness issue, what I think is it's not fair for a lot of people. It's not fair for however you've judged quarterbacks through the years, and there have been many. We talked a little bit about Dan Marino yesterday and a few other people. It wasn't fair maybe for John Elway all those years until he won those back-to-back Super Bowls to end his career, and what a perfect way to go out. But I don't think fairness comes into it. I think it's just how it is. And when you're as visible as a Peyton Manning, when you've reaped every possible reward you can possibly reap from playing this game and playing it at the level he's played it and having the iconic name that he and his family have, when you do all that, guess what? You got to take the ugly stuff, the bad stuff that comes with it, unfortunately, but that is part of it. And you know what? Peyton Manning's smart enough to understand that too.
He is, and he certainly understands what this means, and I think that's why it does put a little bit of extra pressure on him. I know that I'm sure Peyton Manning, as well he should be, is very comfortable with what he's done in his career, but you know it would eat at him if he loses another Super Bowl. Is 1-2 in the Super Bowl. If he loses this game, he would leave the playoffs with a losing record after this season. That's got to be a lot to be on him. And not only that, guess what? He's lined up against the number one defense in the NFL on the other side.
Right. No, without a doubt. So the coaching search we mentioned for the Browns, the offensive coordinator position, and where that goes, and we'll see if there's any possible way to advance that before we leave the air. My sense is it's still going to take a little more time before we ultimately know what the Browns are going to do with that spot. But it's a work in progress, and I would like to see it wrapped up, obviously, so that when we finish with the Super Bowl, and you got another couple of weeks before we're at the combine, you know, it would be so nice to just know, okay, here is the staff that's in place, or at least the large portion of the staff that's in place, and the system, you know, that we understand what the system is. Because the biggest thing about the Kyle Shanahan discussion is what system do you have and how well can you coach it and work it? Because it's going to be, I think it's going to be dramatically different from what this team previously did. We know that much.
It would be, but I think if you go back and you look at what he's done historically, he knows how to get a running game going, obviously, from working with his father. He knows how to feed a number one receiver, as he did with Pierre Garçon this year and in other years, even with poor talent at the position. And he really knows how to utilize play action, quarterback movement, as we expect the team to have a somewhat mobile quarterback. Even Brian Hoyer, I would say, fits that bill. And get the ball to an athletic tight end down the middle of the field, use them out in space. He is very creative with how he deploys that position, which I think really does fit the skill set of the team he would be coaching here in Cleveland, especially when you think about the additions that are going to be made this offseason via free agency and the like.
Yes, without any question that is going to be the case. So other issues with regard to the Super Bowl and talking about the fact that this is Wednesday, Nathan.
Yep.
Richard Sherman, after that NFC Championship game, there was talk over days, over a course of days and almost more and more than a week, that this was going to be the ticking time bomb. This was going to be inflammatory, explosive stuff. Richard Sherman has come into this football, the Super Bowl media situation as the consummate scout.
He's been gentleman.
Like the He's been, right? He's been the choir, you know, he's like the lead singer of a choir of you know, nice, kind young men who are just so, you know, it's, I'm going to be an example and a role model. And has he not flipped the script in such a way that has just had everybody, and I think this is really the beauty of working with Richard Sherman. Just when you think you knew what the guy was all about, boom, he's giving you another angle. And he's saying,
absolutely.
Hey, I'm not going to blow this thing up.
Absolutely. And that's that. Just shows you what an educated guy he is, and why he, you know, why he can be such a polarizing guy in one turn and then turn around at the same time and say, hey, you, he's the kind of guy who's going to help dispel kind of notions and perceptions about players, about people,
right,
because he is so different. He doesn't fit the mold. The interview you saw doesn't fit the mold of what, you know, you would expect to get from him after the fact. The very reflective columns he's written for Monday Morning Quarterback with Peter King have been incredible. And one of the things that was funny that he was talking about being in New Orleans last year, and he was going on Bourbon Street, and he was asking the partiers on Bourbon Street, who's the best cornerback in the NFL, Darrelle Revis or Richard Sherman?
Right.
Nobody on Bourbon Street knew who he was.
Right.
And one of the things he decided was anonymity is not for me. And so obviously he's done a pretty good job of building his brand with one, you know, 20-second interview, and then building it and enhancing it in the aftermath with just how smart he's been about the whole thing.
Yes, and I think that's the key, is that taking the intelligent approach to things and letting people know, because he's doing more than just dealing with his own brand. As you said, I think he's kind of speaking for or representing a lot of players around
sure.
the league, and just, you know, all, and I mean players at all positions, all walks of life, and again, regardless of anything with the player's background, you could be from, you know, the best upper middle class or middle class family from middle America versus his story, which emanates from Compton, California, a very rough
right.
and tough upbringing. But he's quick to say, look, not everybody from Compton has to deal with all the bad stuff that Compton is known for.
Sure.
And gang life and thug life and all the things, those words, those buzzwords that he has not only objected to but has addressed in a real thorough way. I've been impressed with how he's explained what he's about, because that's not easy to do. And you're doing a lot of this explaining in sound bites, in short,
right.
Right, short interviews where you just don't really get to know the person. You think you know him, and you don't. And he's even said that as well. You don't know me as well as you think you do, or as you assume what I'm all about. But I think he does a remarkable job of telling that narrative.
He does. He does. And you know, the buzzword thug, that is something that he's worked very, very hard to dispel. And we'll hear from him later on in the show talking about his definition of a thug, where he fits into that, and basically the perception that people have of what it is that a thug is in today's America, which is, I think, very interesting, because I think whenever a situation like this comes about, not only does it cause a lot of reflection about an individual, in this case Richard Sherman,
right.
It causes a lot of reflection about yourself. How did you react to that initially? What does that say about you? And then the aftermath of that has been very good. The one thing that I would tell him, though, as a wrestling fan, that he did incorrectly in making himself seem like the man after that play, is he should have said, Michael Crabtree, you put one of the best receivers in the NFL against me, and that's what happens in a clutch moment. I don't care how good he is, I'm better. Not saying he's sorry, because big deal that you did better than a sorry receiver.
He needed to consult you.
That's
he
right.
I
could have given him that lesson from pro wrestling.
I mean, after all, you were the guy at ringside on Monday night.
I was there, yes.
Hugging it out with The Miz. I got texts from people around the country who know about our show, who know you are, Mike, you know, the two of us work together,
uh-huh.
and said, your guy Nathan is really doing a bro hug with his boy Miz.
It was cool. So he came out. They called it the Battle of Cleveland, and it was Mike against Dolph Ziggler, who went to St. Ed's in Cleveland, two Cleveland guys. And, you know, Dolph came out in a Cavs jersey. Mike came out in a Browns jersey. And we were down there in the front row. And it was cool when he made his entrance. He basically ran at me and did a big Lambo leap kind of right into my arms. And then we celebrated ringside before he went in and started the match. So it was
That's
a very
awesome.
Cool moment. And awesome. Great guy. And it was a great time at Ruff.
Yeah, no, and the little that I've gotten to be around him, thanks to you, you know, really, really impressive guy and a fun guy.
Yeah,
and we had him in the studio. And I want him back, and we can get him back.
Oh, we'll definitely
studio,
get him
right?
back. Huge. Right. I mean, as big a Browns fan as there is. I'll leave it at that. He is as hungry as anybody listening or you and I for all this coaching stuff to be over and for this team to become a winner ASAP.
There was a topic, by the way, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci coming to you from Manhattan, from Midtown Manhattan. We are on Super Bowl Radio Row here at the Sheraton New York Hotel. Nathan Zagura back in Northeast Ohio. I'll be here through the rest of the week. Leading up to Super Bowl 48, Denver Broncos taking on the Seattle Seahawks Sunday at MetLife Stadium. During the course of the season, whole bunch of controversy out of Miami concerning Jonathan Martin and story between Martin and Richie Incognito and all that it led to, essentially leading to those two players no longer being on the offensive line of the
right.
Miami Dolphins. And Martin especially... The topic of the whole bullying thing and the harassment or whatever you want to call it, there were a lot of ugly elements of that story that came out, and the thing has continued. I mean, it's not done yet. There was an investigation. There's going to be some findings that from this investigation that I guess the Dolphins are going to address or deal with. But in the meantime, Jonathan Martin did an exclusive interview, I think one of the only ones he's done in a long time, with Tony Dungy,
Coach Dungy
from
yep.
NBC, yep, Football Night in America. And it's been an interesting, there have been excerpts of that interview that are out there. So we want to address some of that. And we're going to, coming up on this, again, Football Wednesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, that and much more ahead for you. Vic, Nathan,
yes.
You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.